Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue the series we have been on for a while again today by reading from the book of Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now this will happen because there is a spiritual principle that we are going to read next in verse 10. It's because with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, and that results in salvation. I explained something last time, that the word salvation does not just mean to be saved spiritually the way we describe it, but it describes every good thing that God brings into our lives by reason of the forgiveness that is in the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins and converts our life to a new one. So if we find healing for our bodies, it is called salvation. If we find deliverance for our souls from oppression, it's called salvation. The man who was confused when he begins to have direction, it is called salvation. Now all the good things of life, prosperity to the poor man is called salvation. All of them come from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing with the mouth. And it says that that mouth releases the experience of salvation into our lives. You know, for a while we have been speaking about creating the opportunity for prosperity. We have established, and we must go over that again, that the opportunity for prosperity must first be created in the heart. It is what is inside the heart that manifests outwardly. I said there is a spiritual principle that governs the things that are on this earth. That the state of people's hearts, the people that live on this earth, the state of their hearts affects the things that happen around them, actually dictates the things that happen around them. If you find people that are lawless inside their souls, if you find people that are godless inside their lives, that in their habits that they lead, you will discover that calamities and plagues will come upon the land. In fact, if we read from the book of Leviticus chapter 18, God spoke through Moses to the children of Israel, warning them that they should not do certain abominations that are found in the land they were going to move to. He particularly warned them about sexual sins. He warned about incest. He warned about homosexuality. He warned about bestiality. He warned about different kinds of immoral behaviors. He said in verse 24, "Do not defile yourselves by any of these things. For by all these things, the nations that I'm casting out before you have become defiled." He said their defilement resulted in something in verse 25. "For the land has become defiled, therefore I have visited its punishment upon it, so that the land has vomited up or spewed out its inhabitants." So he warned them that if you do the things that the people are doing, in verse 28 he said, "The land will also spew you out if you defile it." What was he saying? That the acts of the people, the character of the people, the kind of things, the perversions that they practiced was visited upon the land. If you read from Haggai, when God was talking to the children of Israel again, he told them that it's because of them, their lifestyle, their behavior towards the temple of God, that caused the drought to come upon the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on all the things that will have experienced good in. He said, because of them, the sky withheld its dew. That I'm just emphasizing again that what the earth experiences is determined by the kind of things that's inside our hearts. So we explained and emphasized in this our discussion that if we are going to create the opportunity for prosperity outside, it must first be done in the heart. And in fact, the main place of activity is inside the heart. That a lot of people who do not yet have the environment of prosperity in their heart, they are struggling outside to have that thing done outwardly. So they are working against a force that they have created and they do not realize it. And what's that force saying? That force is saying you can't prosper. That force is saying that it can't be well with you. Yet the man gets up in the morning to try and prosper. Yet as he's going, the enemy of his soul is inside his own heart and is producing negative results for him. So he begins to wonder, how come I have toiled and I've gathered only little? How come that when I take the little into my house, I put it into pockets with holes? That is, the little I have gathered, I only manage to waste it again. There is something that is wrong. Yes, as a matter of fact, something is wrong. The fact is that inside his heart, a force is coming out that is against prosperity. So we are saying that the first place where we must walk so as to control or to bring forth prosperity outside is inside our hearts. The first foundation, of course, for that we said is the forgiveness, all right, that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That is, he becomes reconciled to God, and God looks at him and said, this man, you are okay. That is, he's forgiven of his former iniquities. And then, of course, in further along those lines, he begins to change his mind about the things that he's seen. He looks around. We said the first thing again, of course, is that he must understand that this God that he has believed in is not limited by circumstances. It's not limited by the country he lives in. It's not limited by the things that he doesn't have. It's not limited by the apparent disadvantages of his life. But that God said, I am God and there is none else. That is, I control everything, not the other things controlling my plans or my purposes for your life. We say once the person has understood that, then he comes to understand that it's not only possible, it is also necessary. That he has come to realize that this God, if I believe in him, to me nothing will be impossible. After that, he now says, not only is it possible, it is something that must be done. That all my prayers, like we read from Psalm 126, he said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. And God has answered and said, yes, I have heard you. I want to restore your captivity. But before I can do that, I need your cooperation. What are you going to do? You have to get up and go and sow inside your difficult situation. You are going to get up and sow in tears. That is, inside the economy that they say is not good, you must put an investment. Inside the economy that they said is dangerous, you must sow your seed. That your seed is that thing you go out in the morning to try and plant into your economy so as to bring forth good not only for you, but for those who associate with you, for those who will probably be working for you. God said, when you do that, then I will be able to pour forth my prosperity upon you. That is, for you to experience prosperity, therefore, you also have to do something. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, these are the things that the man comes to understand. And once it is established in his heart, then he is already getting ready, all right, for prosperity to come out outside. Please notice that for many episodes of these teachings, I've been emphasizing the issue that the prosperity must first be in the heart. You don't start the prosperity outside. If you are not persuaded concerning what will happen outside, then your labors outside will bring forth nothing for you. The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That what we see do not come out of things that are visible. That is, a man who succeeds will not be because he physically labored hard. That's a mistake we make sometimes in life. We think that a man's labor dictates what he gets. But first of all, what dictates what a man gets is the faith in his heart. That will be manifested in his labor. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will be manifested in his labor, but the first thing that dictates what he gets in life is the faith in his heart. We have come to understand that once we know that the word of God created everything, and we imbibe that God's word, again, the word will become flesh. It's divine order. Once something exists spiritually, eventually it begins to manifest on the earth. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is, we saw a manifestation of that which was not tangible. That is, the spirit that's inside your heart, the power of God's word inside your soul, which has changed your internal environment and converted the environment inside you to that of prosperity, eventually manifests outside as physical prosperity. Therefore, I was saying, your major labor, I'm emphasizing, is in the matter of the heart. What exactly do you believe? What you believe actually eventually comes out into your life. If you believe that life is difficult and you will find it hard in life, then you will discover actually that life will be difficult for you and you will find it hard in life. If you believe that the Lord has spoken and that his word will come to pass, that he says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. If you believe that, eventually you will discover one thing, that one day prosperity will actually be flowing towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is, once something becomes settled in your heart, and that's another issue, the process of settling this thing in your heart is actually a long process. God instructs by the word that you have been hearing, the word that has been teaching, which is knocking out negative things that you've heard in previous times. You listen to a broadcast like this, you go to church on Sunday, you buy a book, you watch a television program, you attend a seminar. In all of these things, God is converting your heart. And I will discuss that one later, maybe today or next time, about the conversion of the heart into the position that can actually manifest God's blessings or God's prosperity. That process of conversion, God is going on and on and on and on and on in your life with it, so that one day you will reach the place where faith is fully established in your heart. What the Bible said concerning Abraham, that he became fully persuaded. That is, once he got to the position of full persuasion, then one day God just walked to me and said, this thing that we have discussed over the last 24 years now is about to be manifested. And within 9 months, his old wife, Sarah, delivered Isaac. That is, once faith was found in his heart, the laws of nature had to be changed just so as to accommodate the manifestation of God's blessings to him. Even though Sarah was old and was no longer, physically speaking, able to bear children. But because faith was established in the heart of Abraham, and faith was also established in the heart of Sarah, the natural law was changed so that Sarah could, in her old age, deliver a son. You are getting the point I'm making? Now, so all these spiritual forces are generated inside us, and those are the things that go out and create for us. It is not our energy. Let me emphasize that again. It's not the effort we put into life that brings forth results. No, it is that these efforts reflect our faith. If we strive according to our faith, we will get results. If we strive against what we believe, then most certainly we will not get anything. We will now be wondering. They will start giving explanations why somebody else is succeeding and we are not. The reason is because they are striving in accordance with their faith. We are striving in contrast to our faith. So if I'm striving against what I believe, then life really becomes hard. I will put in much effort and I will get out little. The reason is that it's not just the effort, it's the spirit that the effort is manifesting. It's the heart situation that my effort is expressing. If my effort expresses the good thing that I've stored in my heart, then the two of them will resonate. What I call the power of resonance. For those of you who understand physics, you understand what I'm saying. When two forces working side by side are in the same frequency, there's a synergy of the amplitude, so that you find out that a little bit of effort on both sides gets a great deal of result. That is, when your heart is in a particular frequency and your effort physically is in that same frequency, then you will most certainly get result. There are those who have negative frequencies inside their heart. That is, they say, I can't do anything. I can't succeed with doing anything. Therefore, they go out and do nothing and they don't do much. They really fail rapidly because the heart and the actions are cooperating. It manifests as laziness. It manifests as a lack of drive. But at the end of the day, they fail. Then there are those who have the heart that has a negative frequency, but they go out with zeal, with zest, with energy. You see that this man is hardworking. Are you getting my point? But he never gets anything out of this work that he's doing hard. It is because one of the major reasons is that his heart has a different frequency compared to that of his actions. But you want to see the champion, you want to see the man that is blessed of God, the one that will manifest prosperity in life. Then first, his heart has a frequency of God. That one alone, that is being united with God's frequency, gives his heart a very, very high frequency. Now that one cooperates with the physical frequency you see with his effort. That this guy is going out, he gets up in the morning, he goes about his business, he speaks positively, which is actually what I'm going to explain today. He talks well about his things, he talks well about his nation, he talks well about what he's doing. He has an expectation of good every time he goes out. Sometimes he meets some disappointments, but that does not in any way deter him. It only convinces him that he needs to learn another method to do this thing. When you see a man going out like that, the frequency of his effort, which is great, is matching that of his heart. Then most certainly, great results will be his portion. Notice what I've been emphasizing. I've been emphasizing that the man's heart must be in a particular place. And what are the issues about his heart that would decide where his heart is what he believes. Are you getting my point? Does he understand that God is God and there is none else? And does he understand that some things are necessary in life and they must be done? Now, let me just please focus on the man with a positive heart. Now, once a man's heart has imbibed a positive attitude, which is generated by instruction from God's word, then there is a release of that word, which is the reason why we read from Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It said, with a heart, man believes, and that results in a kind of approval from God concerning the state of his heart, which is what we call righteousness. It said, once he has attained to that righteousness, then with the mouth, now let me use my own words, the power of his righteousness is released, and that results in physical salvation. That results in tangible deliverance from oppression. That results in tangible deliverance from poverty. Please notice this. There is a power, which is what I kept emphasizing. A kind of power was generated inside his heart by what he heard, what he believed. Are you getting me? And then when he now begins to talk, he's releasing that power into the environment. If maybe it was a sick man, that causes his body to begin to respond, and that's what Jesus calls what? Salvation. In fact, let me just explain the word, the meaning of salvation to us again. When the Bible will say that people will come to Jesus Christ and he will heal them all, what the Greek said literally is that Jesus saved them all. What I'm trying to say is that healing is part of salvation. Do you understand my point? That is, once a man believes in his heart that he is healed by the power of the blood of Jesus and begins to speak accordingly to his body. Now his faith, which has generated a spiritual state in his heart, is now released as tangible manifestation of God's power in healing in his body. In the same manner, the same thing works for prosperity. Let me explain this again. If you believe in your heart, that's what I'm emphasizing, about good concerning your life, about good concerning your environment, about the fact that certain things are necessary for you to do, then you must speak according to those words, listen, so that the power of what you have believed can be released into your environment. Please get this point. Words are the instruments that God created that we might convey that which is invisible into the physical realm. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Let's assume I dreamt, and in my dream, I saw things happening. All right? Whether it's good or it's bad, but I saw things in my dream. If I'm going to narrate it for those that are supposed to take a warning from it, maybe my wife, maybe my friends, or somebody else, I will use words. I won't just turn to the person's face. Are you getting me? And then the person will know what I'm talking about. No. It's by words I will be describing the things that I saw. And those things will become real to the person. In the same manner, the things of this earth, let me explain this, they have ears. Material things have a kind of spiritual ear. What I mean is this. What we say affects ordinary rock that is around us. Listen. It affects the soil we step on. It affects the roofs over our head. It affects the clothes that we wear. Listen to me. It affects the cars that we drive. Listen. When God spoke at the beginning and said, "Let there be light," there were no human beings around to obey him. And listen, it was not the angels that brought light to be. It was the power of God's word that hit the darkness. And the darkness was converted to light. Because God's word has that amount of power. Do you follow the point I'm making? When I'm talking about words having power, when God was going to bring water out of the rock for the children of Israel the second time, he told Moses to speak to the rock. That is, his words interacting with the structure of that rock will have brought water out from inside the rock. Please get my point. That when we speak in life, the things around affect us. Listen, if you speak negatively about your health, eventually your body will begin to decay. If you speak positively about your health, even though you were sick, eventually your body will rise up. Are you getting my point? And fight off ailments because you are speaking to it with powerful words. Listen, words are not just sound. They actually communicate the spiritual substance in the heart of the person that's uttering them. I hope you're getting my point. Now, if you have spiritual substance inside your soul, inside your heart, and you don't utter words, the power is there, but it is not manifested. But if you have spiritual substance, which is what we have described earlier as righteousness, which came to us by believing certain things, believing the unlimited nature of God, and believing the necessity of performing our assignments in life, when that thing generates a spiritual force, which we described as righteousness. Now, the way by which we release that for the earth to experience is by our words. So what am I trying to explain? If a young man is in school and he's been fed with all the negative words. Maybe he had a friend who graduated about four or 5 years before him. And 5 years after graduating from school, that guy is still struggling. He has nothing he's doing. He's not making ends meet in any form. Now, Satan takes that guy's life and describes the situation outside campus to this man. He says, look, once you leave school, you know, your uncles that used to help you, your father, your mother, they are going to stop. You're really going to have to fend for yourself. But you see, there are no jobs out there. Then he watches TV. He doesn't understand that most reporting media are alarmistic by nature. They like to alarm people because it makes people want to listen to them. I mean, if you heard that somebody was beheaded in Lagos, you check it. There's newspapers who put it as big, bold headline. All right? Man beheaded on the streets of Lagos because they know you want to read that. When you hear that one truck was traveling and it was carrying about 15 people and it went off the bridge into the river, it is headline, truck ran off the bridge into the river. They will never tell you that same bridge, are you getting me? 10,000 trucks have crossed in the last 2 months and none of them entered the river. So as by nature, reporting must be alarmist. That is, people like to hear bad news. All right? So the newspapers love to print it. The news media, one day I was watching a news network, outside this country actually, and after I watched it for about 15 minutes, I had to put off the TV. I said, I don't believe that in this city, this is the only thing that's happening. Because it was from the story of the man who killed his 2 children because he was drunk in a car accident, to the woman who killed her 5 children because she had a mental problem, to one man who kidnapped a child and possessed her to shoot him dead, to the bridge that collapsed because there was a storm. After I heard about 5 different terrible news items, I said, this cannot be the only thing happening in this city. I put off the television. And do you understand what I'm going to say? Listen, it's designed to alarm you. So back to that young man who's in school. He keeps on hearing all the bad news around. And Satan keeps telling him, so shall be your portion. So shall be your portion. Please, let me tell you again, before I make my point. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. All those negative things will not be your portion. There is good out there. For everyone who fails, there's another one who succeeded. That's what the Bible had to tell us. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. That is, what will affect you is that which you fix your eyes upon. If you fix your eyes upon the guy who did not succeed, you are imbibing the spirit of failure. If you fix your eyes upon the guy whose life is an example of success, you are imbibing the spirit of success. So this young man, maybe he has heard all this negative news. Eventually, he has come to believe that things go rough. As he's graduating, everybody's rejoicing, but he's sad. He said, now your suffering commences. He said, go for NYSC. He said, the full meaning of my own NYSC is now your suffering commences. Are you getting my point? And then when he finishes that, they say, okay, NYSC is ending. He said, it's now your suffering continues. That is, all my life, it is suffering. He says it inside his heart, and he starts writing applications. Are you getting my point? When he will discuss with his friend, he said, wait a man, go do. No, just apply now. Inside his heart, listen, it's funny. Once he's putting his signature to that paper, he has spoken to the paper, go forth and bring me failure. Go forth and bring me rejection. But he will submit the paper. Are you getting my point? And without people trying, they will reject his application. Listen, spiritual things are real. I know what I'm saying. The kind of heart with which you sign a paper, are you getting me, affects how the person receiving the paper, you know what I'm saying, responds to you. And this is a matter of fact. That is why, just to use a physical thing to explain it, if you call somebody on the phone and you are frowning, he can detect it in your voice. No matter how cheerful you try to be, once there's a frown on your face, one day I was going to make a phone call. I was going to call somebody who was very senior to me, who said I should call him to remind him about something. So as the phone was ringing, I sat up from where I was and I began to smile. So my wife said, what is up? What is wrong with you? So she didn't understand. I put a smile on my face and I sat straight before I was lying down. So I sat straight. He said, So, you know, then I didn't answer immediately. So when the phone connected, I said, oh, good afternoon, sir. This is so-and-so person. You said I should remind you about this. After we discussed about a minute or two and I cut off the phone. My wife said, why were you behaving like that? I said, I'm speaking to a senior person. I said, I was lying down. It will show in my voice. I said, so I had to get up to put my body in a kind of situation that I can be approaching him physically. I said, because it conveys in the sound of my voice. He may not realize it, but when he hears me, there's a way his soul will respond to the sound of my voice. I know what I'm saying. You know, there was a day I was watching a program, how movies are made and stuff. And you know, if you watch cartoons a lot, you see maybe a hyena, and they say it's Whoopi Goldberg that acted as a hyena. That was the sound, all right, of that hyena. Maybe like you watch a movie like The Lion King. So I was watching this thing and they were showing the recording because these people are not there physically. These are drawings, these are cartoons, you know, animated pictures. But the voices are famous stars and stuff. So I watched the way they were recording it. One thing I noticed is that if whatever it is that animal will be doing, if you watch Whoopi Goldberg inside the studio with no camera, just recording, she's actually acting it out physically. If she's angry in the sound of her voice that the hyena is used, that's being used for the hyena, when you see her in the studio, she will actually squeeze her face, move her body. They don't sit down to do it. Because you see, the mood of your whole body reflects in the sound of your voice. Are you getting my point? This is why I'm saying all of these things. In the same manner, you know, I said I want to use something physical that we can easily understand to explain the spiritual, which we cannot see. But this is actually the way it works. A man whose heart is defeated, are you getting me? If he begins to write applications, he leaves a spirit on that paper that makes him a case of rejection. A man with a vibrant spirit, all right, just writing on paper, he leaves a spirit on it that makes the man reading it glad to receive him. What I'm saying, these are spiritual truths. Sounds spiritual truths. But this one I want really to understand. If a man is talking negatively, the things around are actually hearing him.
And they are responding, all right, to the sound of his voice. And voices, don't forget, is not just the sound. That's why some people go to church, they will say to your neighbor, it is well. The guy says on the surface, it is well. But in his spirit, he said, let's just say what this pastor said. This pastor is not in touch with reality. Are you getting my point? It's Passover night, December 31st to January 1st. He says, speak to this year. You are my good year. You are the year of breakthrough. The guy says with the pastor, this year, you are the year of breakthrough. Then he says, this pastor does not realize what has been going on in the economy. This is a year of breakdown. He said, leave this man. He's just preaching. We understand. He has to earn his joy. He has to earn his pay. It is his job to make us feel good. Let us feel good for him. So he said, it is well. That's what they call Christianese. You learn the language of the Christian. Like this Chinese man speaks Chinese. A lot of people also speak Christianese. It's just a language. They say something, they don't believe it. That's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. That is, there is a lack of resonance between their words and what's inside their hearts. Therefore, the words are impotent. But I'm talking about powerful words today. A man who has come to believe that which is right, what he does is to speak what he has believed. And listen, eventually the issues of life, they convert, all right, to agree with that which is inside his heart. When God looked at the earth, and the Bible said it was formless and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, you know what he did? He looked at it, we've discussed that in previous times. He contemplated what he wanted. And when his heart was full, it overflowed out of his mouth. And God uttered the sound into the environment. And that sound was recorded by Moses as, and God said, let there be light. Are you getting my point? But when that sound came forth, the situation around responded to the intensity of the faith in the heart of God. And I'm telling you today, man was created in the image of God and after his likeness. And we are talking about creating. See, listen to that. We are talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. That I'm prophesying to you that God is ready to bless you and I. Like we read from Psalm 126, it says, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. We have prayed like that. Are you getting my point? We have prayed. And God said, I am ready to bless you. There are many people that they've been before, they believe that in their family nothing good will ever come. And over time, they have learned the word of God. And they have prayed like Jabez and said to God, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And just like God heard Jabez, God said, I'm also ready to make your name great and to expand your coast. He said, but you must learn to sow in tears. Are you getting me? You must learn to prepare to reap with joy. That is, you must go out, cooperate with me, and create the opportunities for prosperity. That is a job you and I are supposed to do. Create that opportunity. And I'm saying that the creative power of God was released by the words that he uttered. In the same manner, the creative power, which is a result, listen to this, of the answer that God gave to your prayers and my prayers. And believe me, we have prayed for this nation. God said the power is ready, but people must go out and create it. Particular key I'm releasing today is the fact that what we have believed in our heart, we must say with our mouth because the environment around responds to those very words that we speak. I hope you understand that point. You must never, I said that last time, listen, you must never allow anybody persuaded to say something that is contrary to what you believe in your heart. If you cannot challenge people, then keep quiet. But under your breath, reject what they have said. Are you getting my point? If you get up, maybe you're just tired and somebody looks at you and say, it looks like you're not well. Say to the person, I am well. Because that's what you have believed. I'm not talking about this kind of nonsense you hear in town. People who are always rejecting things. They don't even know the meaning of the word rejection. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speaking what you are persuaded about. Are you getting me? There's one example I like to use to drum this point in. One day I was in a house and I was walking and I held something like an umbrella and I bent over it. I was very young. I was in my 20s. And a lady in the house said, hey, doc, at 60. That is telling me, in effect, that this is how I'll bend over at the age of 60. And because of what I believed, at that time I had eaten the good word of God that had taught me certain things about my future, about my old age. And I simply turned to her and said, mistake. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. Therefore, my youth is renewed like that of an eagle. Therefore, I will never bend. That is, at the age of 60, I'll still be trucking around, jogging, you understand, walking from one place to the other, going to the gym, carrying weights, going out to go and preach the gospel of God, standing for hours on end, teaching this gospel of the kingdom, speaking the word of God to many people. When somebody mistakenly tried to imply otherwise, I said, no, you've made a mistake there. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. Therefore, my youth is renewed like the eagles. The righteous man, even in his old age, the Bible said he will be young and full of sap. That is, he will be like a green leaf, not an old one that just breaks easily. Are you getting me? That is, what have I done? I have created a future for myself by speaking what God had imprinted upon my heart in the face of a contrary evidence.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.